Joe Biden's 2022 Migrant Flood Breaks Records. By Neil Monroe on August 16, 2022. Another 199,976 economic migrants arrived at the southern border in July, ensuring President Joe Biden's 2022 migration exceeds the total 2021 numbers, even though August and September numbers have yet to be added. The government tracks the migrant arrival and inflow data by its fiscal year calendar, which starts October 1 and ends September 30. The total 2022 number will be known once the August and September numbers are counted. In all 12 months of fiscal 2021, officials counted 1,734,686 migrants at the border and allowed 671,160 into the United States via various border law loopholes. But in the first 10 months of fiscal 2022, border officials have counted 1,946,780 migrants at the border and allowed 1,012,378 economic migrants to seek homes and jobs throughout the United States. This July, Biden's deputies admitted 125,403 of the 199,976 arriving migrants. The 2022 admission numbers show a 50% jump over 2021, with 2 months to go. The numbers are flawed. For example, the numbers counted at the border are inflated when rejected migrants repeatedly try to sneak across the border. But the bigger problem is that the government numbers hide the huge inflow of gotaways, people who sneak past the few patrol agents and the incomplete border wall along the border. Insiders within the border agencies say the agencies count roughly 40,000 gotaways each month, or roughly 500,000 per year. Biden's huge inflow of workers, consumers, and renters helped to tilt the economy against ordinary Americans. For example, the inflow of workers allows investors and companies to hire many desperate migrants at low wages. The workers are also renters, so their inflow worsens inflation by spiking housing prices, so importing more economic damage to ordinary Americans. In New York State, wages rose by 5% from June 2021 to June 2022. Yet inflation rose faster, especially for housing and food, leaving the city's residents poorer than 1 year before. Breitbart reported on August 11 that the Bureau of Labor Statistics Producer Price Index showed on Thursday that consumer food prices are up 15.8%, the highest year-to-year rate of inflation since 1974. The GOP continues to downplay the pocketbook damage caused by Biden's policies. For example, the House's 2022 campaign team, the National Republican Congressional Committee, treats the immigration crisis as merely a border crisis. That strategy allows the committee to ignore the pocketbook damage and to instead focus voters on border chaos, drug smuggling, and migrant crime. Meanwhile, Biden's border chief, Alejandro Mayorkas, has sided with economic migrants against Americans. "I am, to a great extent, aligned with the expectations of the immigrant community," the Cuban-born, pro-migration zealot told an affluent and cheering audience at the Aspen Institute on July 19. The government data also hides the record number of migrants killed as they try to reach Biden's welcome at the border. For example, Breitbart News reported on August 11. Information provided to Breitbart Texas by an official operating under the umbrella of U.S. Customs and Border Protection reports that more than 670 migrants have died in fiscal year 2022. Of the more than 670 deaths, 60% were drownings and exposure. Another 10% of the deaths were discovered, but causes were not definitive. Many additional migrants died on their trek far south of the U.S. border. On August 15, EfectaCocuyo.com reported the testimony of a Venezuelan migrant, Orlando, who left a safe home in Colombia to cross into Panama via the dangerous Darien Gap, where likely thousands of Biden migrants have died. The Venezuelan said he crossed the jungle trail through the mountains with a Nigerian family. "While we were going up, his wife slipped and broke her neck. He finished loading one of his children and I the other. Upon reaching the top, he asked me to put up with the kids. He went down to get the body of his wife, put it on his back and went up." Orlando opens his arms and shows how his friend lifted his wife's body and put it around her shoulders, so that it would not fall. Upon reaching the top, he looked for a place to lay it down. Innocent, The children thought that the woman was asleep and lay down next to her, each on one side of her, and asked their father when he was going to wake up. Orlando can't find the voice to go on. He rubs his arms like someone who feels chills. However, he recovers and continues, "He carried her a little longer until we reached a point. We stopped to rest and there he made a grave to bury her." This economic damage and the death toll are being hidden by pro-migration advocates. For example, the elitist, D.C.-based Atlantic magazine recently hid the pain of Biden's migration under a 30,000-word sermon against President Donald Trump's successful border policy. It's a magnificent, comprehensive investigation of the Trump administration's family separation policy, Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor of the pro-migration outlet, said August 9. "Don't think of it as a very, very long story. Think of it as a very, very short book," he added. Extraction migration. The policy of extraction migration is central to the U.S. economy. The policy extracts human material, migrants, from poor countries and uses them as workers, renters, and consumers to shift vast wealth from ordinary people to billionaires and Wall Street. Since at least 1990, the D.C. establishment has extracted tens of millions of legal and illegal migrants, plus temporary visa workers, from poor countries to serve as workers, managers, consumers, and renters for various U.S. investors and CEOs. This policy of labor inflation makes it difficult for ordinary Americans to get married, advance in their careers, raise families, or buy homes. Extraction migration slows innovation and shrinks Americans' productivity, partly because it allows employers to boost stock prices by using cheap stoop labor instead of productivity-boosting technology. Migration undermines employees' workplace rights, and it widens the regional wealth gaps between the Democrats' big coastal states and the Republicans' heartland and southern states. The flood of cheap labor tilts the economy towards low-productivity jobs and has shoved at least 10 million American men out of the labor force. An economy built on extraction migration also drains Americans' political clout over elites, alienates young people, and radicalizes Americans' democratic civic culture because it allows wealthy elites to ignore despairing Americans at the bottom of society. The economic policy is backed by progressives who wish to transform the U.S. from a society governed by European-origin civic culture into a progressive-directed empire of competitive, resentful identity groups. "We're trying to become the first multiracial, multi-ethnic superpower in the world," Representative Rohit Khanna, DCA, told the New York Times in March 2022. "It will be an extraordinary achievement. We will ultimately triumph," he boasted. The progressives' colonialism-like economic strategy kills many migrants. It exploits the poverty of migrants and splits foreign families as it extracts human resources from poor home countries to serve wealthy U.S. investors. This migration policy also minimizes shareholder pressure on U.S. companies to build up beneficial and complementary trade with people in poor countries. Business-backed progressive advocates hide this extraction migration economic policy behind a wide variety of noble-sounding explanations and theatrical border security programs. Progressives claim that the U.S. is a nation of immigrants, that migration is good for migrants, and that the state must renew itself by replacing populations. Establishment Republicans and major GOP donors hide the wealth shift towards investors by focusing conservative media coverage on border chaos, welfare spending, migrant crime, and drugs. Many polls show the public wants to welcome some immigration, but they also show a deep and broad public opposition to labor migration and the inflow of temporary contract workers into jobs sought by young U.S. graduates. This third rail opposition is growing: anti-establishment, multiracial, cross-sex, non-racist, class-based, bipartisan, rational, persistent, and recognizes the solidarity that American citizens owe to one another.